welcome to the Tapping World Summit 2012. This is your host, Jessica Ortner. By listening to this interview, you agree to the terms located at thetappingworldsummit.com/disclaimer. We hope this interview helps you become a healthier and a happier you. Pain affects more Americans than diabetes, heart disease, and cancer combined. The National Center of Health Statistics stated that more than one quarter of Americans aged 20 years and over, that's an estimated 76.5 million Americans, reported that they have had a problem with pain for more than 24 hours in duration. Now, this is a shocking number that doesn't even consider acute pain. Pain happens, but there is something that we can do about it. So to teach us how to use tapping for pain relief, we will be speaking to Nick Ortner. Nick does not only have the distinct honor of being my older brother, but he is a tapping expert. He is the producer of this event, the creator of the documentary film, The Tapping Solution, and has a new book coming out with Hay House in 2013 that dives deep into the film while sharing his vast experience from his own private tapping practice. I am thrilled that he is with us. Hi, Nick.
Jessica, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, right. But
usually there's not tens of thousands of people listening in on our conversation, so this will be, we'll have to watch what we say.
Exactly. Well, this is going to be some really great information. And I just want to start off with the basics. What kind of pain relief does tapping provide?
Well, you know, it really covers the spectrum from the little things that we face in our life. I mean, I remember one of my first tapping experiences was on a sore neck. And, you know, when we sleep wrong on our neck and you wake up and you're kind of moving slowly all day and you can't turn your neck quickly because you've got a crick in it. And in the past, for me, it would be, well, it might take a day, 2 days, sometimes even 3 days for that to finally release and get better. And I remember doing the tapping and the pain released in a matter of minutes. And that was one of my first kind of shocked moments on how well it works from pain. So we have the little things, the aches and pains in our life, to the more serious things, the chronic back pain that's been around for 30 years, the pain resulting from an accident, the pain of fibromyalgia. And in this call, we'll cover sort of the spectrum of how to do it on the little things and then how to also approach the big things.
Right. I love how you shared that example because I think so many people out there have those type of examples. And that's why tapping is spreading so quickly, because someone does it themselves, they can actually feel a difference and they tell everybody about it. So I want to learn exactly how this works. I want the listeners to be able to leave this call and go into the tapping. So what is one way that we can begin to approach our pain with tapping?
Absolutely. Well, there's a lot of different ways. And I think that's one of the important things about tapping that, and one of the things that we cover in the summit throughout all the different calls, is that the basics are obviously really basic. You can learn the tapping points in a matter of minutes, and the process is really simple. The breadth of it, the excitement, the way you can really get the most results is by finding ways to it, you know. And most people, when they first learn it, they think, okay, so I just do the tapping, I list my issue, and that's it. So they'll start by saying, you know, even though I have fibromyalgia, I deeply and completely accept myself. And while somebody might see some results with that, that's a little more rare. What we need to do is find entries into what's actually going on. My friend Lindsay Kenny, who is an EFT master and is also featured in the summit, has come up with a concept called the tapping tree. And I want to share it here with people because I think it's a really, it's very easy to remember, and it's a great way to approach pain relief and to approach anything else we're dealing with. So you can learn this model of the tapping tree and apply it to all sorts of other things in your life that you're dealing with, to other calls, etc. And the idea behind the tapping tree is if you visualize a tree right now, you know, visualize an oak or a maple, just a regular old tree with the trunk and the branches and the leaves and the roots. And we're going to look at each of those segments as a target that we can tap on. So we start looking at the leaves and picture those as being the side effects. The leaves are what's going on, right? So if you have chronic back pain, the leaves are the pain. The leaves are the soreness. The leaves are the actual thing that's happening. If you have fibromyalgia, the side effect is fibromyalgia. It's pain in this part of your body and soreness there and not being able to sleep at night and all the side effects of the condition of whatever you're dealing with, right? So that's one of the things that we can tap on. We can tap directly on the side effects, and we can say, even though I have this back pain, even though I have this soreness. So that's target number one. That's approach number one. If you think about the branches, we see the branches as the emotions, okay? So the emotions is the anger that you feel about the pain, the sadness in your body, the anger and stress you feel in daily life, the emotional circumstances that you have around the specific pain. So that's the branches. So we have the leaves, the side effects, the branches, which is the emotions, and now we go to the trunk. And the trunk is the events. So these are the things that happened in your life related, in this case, to the pain. So if there was a boating accident, it was what happened. It was that event. If there was a diagnosis, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. If there's a diagnosis, that is an event that happened. A doctor told you X about it. And then the final part, we have the roots, which is the limiting beliefs, the beliefs that we have about it. I'll always have this back pain. This is something that needs surgery. It's not going to go away. Whatever we believe about the situation. Okay. So we have the side effects, the leaves, the branches, the emotions, the trunk, the events, and the limiting beliefs, the what you believe about what's going on, which is the roots. And that's obviously the whole tree. Now, what I love about this picture of the tree is it's obviously easy to remember. Just think of a tree and, you know, memorize what each of those parts are. And when we're doing the tapping, we want to approach all elements of the tree. So we want to take a look at the side effects. We want to take a look at the emotions. We want to take a look at the events. We want to approach the limiting beliefs. Sometimes, absolutely, we can tap on an event and clear the whole issue. Everything else goes away with it. It's like we collapse the tree just with that, or we cut off one branch and it affects everything. But other times, it takes going deeper and looking at all the different aspects of it. So I would just want everyone out there to just have that picture in mind for this call, and then for the other calls, and then for the work that you do afterwards. You know, when you face an issue, when you have something going on, you can say, okay, well, I'm trying to think of what to say. How do I tap on it? Let me think about the tree. Some people find it really helpful to actually draw out the tree and fill in what's going on, and then you can tap through all of the issues. You know, one of the mistakes that I see a lot of people make is they'll tap on something for 5 or 10 minutes, and they'll go, oh, well, you know, I spent 5 or 10 minutes on it, and it didn't all go away, or I feel a little better, but now I feel better, so I'll just get back to life. And they don't get to, no pun intended, the root of it, you know? They don't handle the whole of the tree.
And I want to mention to the listeners that this tree is in the workbook, so they can look at it there. And once we begin to understand this tree, do we need to start on a particular spot on the tree with our tapping?
You know, we can start wherever we want to. And let me share a story that of an experience that I had and something that happened with someone, and then we'll see where that fits in the tree. And in this case, we actually started on the trunk, okay?
Okay.
And Jess, you're very familiar with this story because this is about one of the people that we filmed for the Tapping Solution documentary film. Her name is Patricia, and I remember so distinctly you and I sitting down looking at applications, and you know, we had hundreds of people apply to this 4-day event where people would come together and do the tapping in order to showcase the results. We wanted to film people beforehand, do the tapping, and then film them out afterwards to show on camera what happened. And we were looking at this application from Patricia, who had a boating accident, and she had fractured her L1, she had shattered her vertebrae, she had rods in her back, she had titanium rods and screws, and had a massive surgery that was successful in stabilizing her back, but she was in a lot of pain. And Jess, do you remember what you told me about Patricia?
I said, we cannot pick her because her pain isn't from an emotion. She had a physical accident.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of people think. They say, oh, well, my back is X. My doctor told me I have a slip disc. That's why the pain is there. And he told me it would take 5 years to heal, never heal. Or he would talk, you know, oftentimes we hear it's going to get worse, right? So,
yeah.
Oh, your back's in bad shape. And just so you know, it will probably continue to degenerate. Right? The disc will get worse. And this was the case with Patricia. So you disagreed with my decision, but I used the older brother veto.
We
rolled the dice and Patricia came in to the event. And one of the first things that Rick Wilkes, who was also on the summit, was actually the practitioner who was working with her for that weekend. And one of the first things that they worked on was the diagnosis. It was what her doctors had told her about the event. And they had told her, you'll always have pain in your back. It was just a flat-out statement. You know, you have these rods, you'll always have pain. You'll always feel the rods in your back. You'll never be able to do yoga again. She loved doing yoga. So you can imagine hearing these things. And one of the tough things about these kind of diagnoses, these diagnoses, if that's the right word, is that we hear them when we're most vulnerable, right?
So, yes.
You know, you've had an accident and you're going through all this emotional trauma, so much heartache, so much trying to make peace and come to terms with what happened, and a doctor tells you this is what's going to happen. A doctor in a white coat, an authority figure, and it's almost like that's a bullet straight into the subconscious. You know, it's like that goes right in and to the conscious mind, because you not only operate from the subconscious making different decisions, but when Patricia heard you'll never do yoga again, and the doctor said that, she didn't do yoga. She just made different decisions about her life and what it meant. So what Rick did with her is he went through the diagnosis, thinking back to what the doctor said, and then tapping on it specifically, tapping on what the doctor said, and clearing not only the event, so he cleared the trunk, right, in terms of the tree, he cleared the trunk, but he also cleared the emotion, so the anger she felt about what the doctor said, the frustration, the fear. And you can do the same thing for yourself. So one of the things that you want to ask yourself with regards to your pain is, what do I know to be true about this pain, right? So what do I know to be true? Well, I know that I have a slipped disc. This is what I believe. I know I have fibromyalgia. I know that I fractured this, and that's why it hurts now. You can also ask yourself, what have my doctors told me is going on with my body, right? So the diagnosis. And think back. You'll know, I mean, everyone knows it. Oh, my doctors told me this.
You don't forget.
You don't forget.
Yeah.
Another one that's really big right now is, what did I read online about what's going on with my body, right? So with pain or with illness, you know, we're focusing on pain here, but a lot of these same processes can happen with illness. So you have something that's been diagnosed, or you have issues, you have symptoms, and you go online. What did you read online that you now believe is true about the body? And then in general, what do I believe to be true about my condition? You know, I believe that I have this, and it's a result of this. Oh, it's because of what I ate. It's because of the accident I had. It's because of this, you know, the stress in my life, whatever it is. So when you ask yourself those questions, and I recommend that most people do it with pen and paper, you know, so you can ask yourself, what I know to be true about this pain, and then write down the answers. If you ask in your head, it's very easy to forget one of them, right? And then forget the tap on it. So ask yourself those questions and then write them down on a piece of paper and come up with a list. And let's say if someone has a slipped disc in their back, so their list might look like, you know, number one, I have a slipped disc in my back. And you can get more specific and say something like, well, I have a slipped disc in my third vertebrae and it's degenerating and it brings a throbbing red pain. And my doctor told me it would just keep getting worse. And another statement might be, my doctors told me it would always hurt. Or my doctors told me it will eventually need surgery. You know, someone has a problem now and they go, well, we'll check in a year or two, but you'll probably need surgery. You might have a belief about it, and this goes to the root, right, that the only way this pain goes away is if I take pain medication, right? So just have that free-flow process, ask yourself those questions, make the statements, and then tap on that specifically. Do you want to do some practice tapping on that right now?
Let's do some practice tapping, and then I don't want to forget to hear what happened to Patricia.
Oh, absolutely.
But let's do the tapping first.
Okay. So let's focus on tapping on the diagnosis. And in this case, as an example, I'm just going to do, you know, having a slipped disc in the back.
Okay.
So tapping on the karate chop point. Even though I have a slipped disc in my back.
Even though I have a slipped disc in my back.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I know I have a slipped disc in my back.
Even though I know I have a slipped disc in my back.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though my doctors told me I have a slipped disc in my back.
Even though my doctors told me I have a slipped disc in my back.
And I know this to be true.
And I know this to be true.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
And now let's move through the points. Eyebrow point. This slipped disc.
This slipped disc.
Side of the eye. This slipped disc in my back.
This slipped disc in my back.
Under the eye. It's throbbing and painful.
It's throbbing and painful.
Under the nose. The doctors told me I have a slipped disc.
The doctors told me I have a slipped disc.
Chin. The doctors told me it would always hurt.
The doctors told me it would always hurt.
Collarbone. The doctors told me it would eventually need surgery.
The doctors told me it would eventually need surgery.
Under the arm. The doctors told me it was degenerating and would likely get worse.
The doctors told me it's degenerating and will likely get worse.
Top of the head. The only way the pain goes away is if I take medication.
The only way that pain goes away is if I take medication.
Let's go back to the eyebrow. I believe I'll have this forever and it will only get worse.
I believe I'll have this forever and it will only get worse.
Side of the eye. This slipped disc in my back.
This slipped disc in my back.
Under the eye. This painful slipped disc.
This painful slipped disc.
Under the nose. This throbbing red hot pain.
This throbbing, red-hot pain.
Chin, I believe it will only get worse.
I believe it will only get worse.
Palomar, I believe what the doctors told me.
I believe what the doctors told me.
Under the arm. I believe everything the doctor said.
I believe everything the doctor said.
Top of the head. This painful slip disc.
This painful slip disc.
Now take a deep breath. And let it go. And I want to make two comments about that. You'll notice that in this case, I sort of combined all the different statements in one tapping round.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we talked about the slip disc. We talked about what the doctor said. We talked about needing surgery. And that's something you can absolutely do. You know, when you make the list, you can use one of the challenges. And I know we talk about this a lot, is that people struggle with what to say. So the great thing about writing down a list is that you can just go through the tapping points and saying the things on the list. Now, if one thing particularly gets you or you get stuck on, then you want to focus on that specifically. But a lot of times doing this tapping on all the different issues can really move it because these issues are so related. The other thing to mention that I forgot to do, and I often do, is it's important to give it a number on a 0 to 10 scale before you start. So when you make this list, go through and write down how true you believe it is, right? So the doctors told me we'll need surgery, and if you believe that fully, if that is just, I think I'm going to need surgery, that's true, give that a number as an 8 or 9. If it's not as true, you might say, yeah, I don't really believe them, it's a 4 or 5. And then when you do this happen, you can check back in and see, which is always so surprising, but what's so powerful, the cognitive shift that happens when you go, you know what, I don't think I need surgery. There's other solutions. There's things I can do. I believe more things are possible for me.
Right. Now, I do want to mention something or ask you to talk about this. We're not saying here to not listen to your doctor and not get surgery if your doctor says that you need it.
Absolutely. You know, listen to what your doctor says. Check in with them after you've done the tapping and share with them some of your changes and results. And the medical diagnosis is what it is, and work closely with your doctor on that.
But have an open discussion.
Have an open discussion. And that's part of it too. You know, I think what the tapping can do, let's say it's on the surgery. Let's say your doctor's telling you, you must have surgery. At the end of the day, you still need to make a choice as to whether it's the right decision for you. So you can tap on, even though I don't know if I should have the surgery. And what that will do is not only will you become more peaceful about it and get more clear, it also just gives you more power back. So you can have a discussion with your doctor about the options. You can share with them some of your concerns. And you might end up getting the surgery. There's no doubt that there's times when a surgery might be the right thing. You know, if you have something that's torn and it's torn in half and it's not healing because the two pieces of the tendon aren't coming together, well, maybe that's time for surgery. So what we're doing with the tapping is we're not saying, oh, we'll never do anything with surgery or never talk to your doctor or never take any sort of medication whatsoever. That's not our position on this. It's get clear emotionally about it. Reduce the stress about it. Take back your own power so you make that decision from a place of peace, not from that anxious, I'm scared, I don't know what to do, and this is what they told me is true, so I have to do it.
Right. So what I understand from what you're saying is that our belief in what someone says that it's going to get worse, that belief contributes to the current pain that we're feeling.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And it contributes to the pain. I mean, if we talk about the placebo effect, right? And that in one third of all medicine working is the placebo effect. Well, if you believe your pain's going to get worse, that the disc in your back is going to keep getting worse, you know, you can create that reality in a huge way. So when we shift the mind and we have that cognitive shift and have a different belief about what's possible, at the very least, we're moving in the right direction. And at the very, very least, if we're not stressed about the situation, we're much more likely to have a more successful surgery, to heal faster, or to, you know, there's been times when people say, okay, well, I'm going to get the surgery, I'm at peace, and they schedule the surgery for 2 months out, and they go and check with their doctor a week before the surgery, and the doctor goes, well, this healed, or the pain's gone, or what happened? Because they finally just relax about the whole thing. You know, stress plays such an enormous role in our body. I know a lot of us admit to it playing a role, and we say, you know, if you go out to most people and you say distress affect your body or illness or pain, people say, yeah, well, it absolutely does. But we say that without consciously taking it in, without really looking at the effects of it and saying to ourselves, it plays a massive, massive role. So until we get clear on our pain, on the diagnosis, on the stress about it, it's going to contribute to the problem continuing.
Can you tell us then how Patricia ended up after she tapped on focusing on what her doctor had said?
Well, it was amazing. You know, she tapped through the weekend on focusing on what the doctor said. She tapped with Rick Wilkes on the feeling in her back. She was able to shift the feeling of the rods and screws and how heavy it felt. And she left the weekend pain-free. eventually, under the care of her doctor, she got off all her pain medications. I don't know if I mentioned that she was on 4 or 5 different pain medications that she would rotate through because things wouldn't work all the time. She had been taking Ambien at night to go to sleep, and she got off of that. And we saw her 6 months later. We did a follow-up for the film, and she was pain-free. She tells a funny little story about how she was at the airport with another one of the participants, and Jackie said to her, the other participant said, "Oh, do you want me to carry your bags for you?" You know, to help her with her back. And she was like, "Why is she asking to carry my bags?" You know, she just was like,
she forgot.
That's weird. She forgot that she had pain. You know, she had shifted so dramatically. Her identity had shifted. It just wasn't who she was anymore. So, you know, she was truly pain-free.
Right. Okay, so that is one way that we can tap to focus on the beliefs and what people have told us or what we've read about our current situation. What are some other approaches that we can take?
Well, before I do that, I think it's important. Before the event, you told me it wasn't going to work with Patricia. So maybe, you know, maybe publicly right now.
Oh, no, you didn't.
You'll admit that I was right.
I admit that I was wrong and you were right. This is the only time people will ever hear me say this.
This is okay. Shameful of me to do because she's admitted it to me before, but I figured why not do it in front of
tens
of thousands of people, you know. This is what big brothers do to their little sisters.
Exactly. It's so true. Okay, moving on then. What's another way that we could use tapping?
Well, so we looked at the events, right? The diagnosis. Another way that's really powerful for people is to focus on the emotion. So focusing on the branches in the tree, right? We'd said the side effects was the pain, the branches is the emotion. And the easiest question to ask yourself with the pain, you know, you have back pain, you have neck pain, is just to say to yourself, if there is an emotion in this pain, or if this pain represented an emotion, what would it be? And for most people, it's very easy. They can tune in very quickly. You know, in our 4-day event, we had another incredible result with John, who is a Vietnam veteran, and he had had chronic back pain for over 30 years. 4 surgeries, unsuccessful, pain medications, in pain every day, and the pain levels were 8, 9, or 10 every day. So you can imagine how much pain he was in, even when he was taking medication. Supposedly, the pain was the result of an accident in 1974 that had resulted in a severely herniated disc. That's what they had told him. John came, and Steve Munn, who was the practitioner who was tapping with him that weekend, tapped with him and asked, "What emotion is in your back? What story are you holding on to there?" And John quickly replied, "Anger." It was so obvious to him. After he replied anger, they went on to tap through and talk about how John's father had beaten him repeatedly as a child with a heavy leather strap. And you can actually see in the film The Tapping Solution when he talks about this a little bit. He tapped on the beating, and then he tapped with Steve on the various emotions and all the events related to his father. And he was astonished that in the second day of the event, he woke up pain-free, back pain going away after.
Yeah, it was incredible.
30 years. He was actually sitting on the floor and he was shocked about how he was sitting on the floor and he would normally not do that. Now, what's interesting is some people say, okay, wait, he hurt himself in 1974, but so that's when his back pain started, but we're tapping on childhood events with his father. And look, you know, we don't have any clear answers right now as to how that works, what happened, you know, what was going on in his back that predisposed him to have that pain? Was there a weakness there because of what his father had done to him and all the emotion? Was it just more vulnerable? Or did he have the accident and the fact that he had this emotion in there, the back didn't heal the way it should have? We don't really have all the answers. Maybe one day we will. Maybe we'll have things that can measure emotions in our back or, you know, exactly what's going on. But what I do know is that by focusing on the pain, the results in this case were extraordinary. And for a lot of people, when they focus on that, they get simply astounding results.
Right. So you just mentioned that Steve Munn asked him the question, what is the emotion around the pain? So is that something that we should all be asking ourselves?
Yeah, that's a great first question. Actually, I want to share a couple of other questions, and I'll put these in the workbook so people can look at them more closely. But if you don't have the workbook, then you can just write these down. I'll go through them slowly. And then ask yourself these questions as we go through them now. One great question about your pain is, when did the pain first start? And what was going on in your life at that time? So that's looking for an event. That's the trunk, right? So when did the pain first start and what was going on in your life at that time? Another great question is, does this pain represent someone? Okay, so people think about the pain in their neck, right? I mean, it's an obvious thing. Who is the pain in your neck? Another question is similar to that one is, who comes to mind when you think of this pain? It doesn't have to represent someone, but when you think about this pain, is it associated with somebody? Another great question, how do you feel about having this pain? So this is going to the emotions, you know, and now you might say, I'm so angry about it. I'm so frustrated. It keeps me so stuck. Another question with the emotions and partially with the beliefs is, how do you feel about yourself with this pain? How do you feel about yourself with this pain? Oh, I can't believe that I can't get over this. Or, you know, it's my fault that I have this pain because I did X. What does this pain say about who you are? What does this pain say about who you are? This pain shows that I'm weak. This pain shows that I'm frail. Another great question, who would you be without this pain? Who would you be without this pain? And a lot of people think, oh my gosh, without this pain, it would be amazing and this, that, and the other. I really want this pain to be gone. But then you also need to ask yourself, what's the downside of holding on to this pain? Okay, so for some people, and for example, there's someone who is in a lot of pain is on disability. The downside of getting rid of the pain is that, hey, it's kind of nice to get a disability check every month. Now, that doesn't mean that people, you know, I don't like making the connection that, you have this pain because you want to be on disability. It's not as clear cut as that. But is there a benefit to this pain? I was working with someone with migraine headaches a few weeks ago. And when she thought about the headaches going away, she said, well, now I'm going to have to be social again. I'm going to have to hang out with people I don't want to hang out with. So issues about saying no and about wanting to do what she wanted to do in her life came up. You know, the pain can be, frankly, a pretty good excuse to say, I'm sorry, I can't do this because I have this migraine, I have this back pain. Again, there's no blame here, and it's important to look at these issues and not get mad at ourselves when we find, yeah, I'm actually using this as a bit of an excuse. Now, it's important to not say, well, I can't believe I'm doing that. It is what it is. You know, we do these things to keep ourselves safe. We do these things, our body creates these scenarios, when it does create these scenarios, because it's a way to keep ourselves safe. It's a way to frankly find more peace. You know, if you're not enjoying social interactions and the pain is keeping you away from them, well, good, you get out of the social interactions. And I know a lot of people say, well, that's a heavy price to pay to be in this pain. And having that awareness lets you make those choices about that.
Absolutely.
A couple more really great questions to ask. Does this pain have a message for you? And now that can be a little more out there, but people will connect with that too. You know, this pain is telling me to slow down. I keep getting this pain when I've been traveling a lot or when I'm too busy. You know, after 12-hour days, I get this pain. Well, what's the message? The message is to slow down. I'm doing too much. Similar to the downside of holding on to this pain, what's the upside of holding on to this pain? And then one, just to do some more focused tapping, you can also describe the pain. You can say, well, what quality, texture, color, or size does the pain have? So those are just a couple of great questions to ask yourself. And I'm sure if you've been asking right now, you have like 18 answers. That's why it's important to write things down. And you can play this audio again. You can rewind and listen to the questions again, just to be really clear and to write down these answers. Because a lot of times when we have things for 10, 20 years or pain that's been around for a year, there's a lot of different aspects to it. There's the emotions, there's the beliefs, there's the events. And to get the most lasting results, we want to approach all of them.
Okay, so we want to go through them one by one.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If someone has answered these questions, they're looking at their piece of paper and they're feeling incredibly overwhelmed and they don't know where to start. What do you recommend?
Well, first of all, one at a time and just use your intuition. Also, you know, one of the things that happens with tapping is that you'll tap on one thing and another one will clear. So you can get a sort of a 2-for-1 special with the tapping. So don't stress about having to go through every single one of them. And know that it's a process. You know, I think one of the amazing things about tapping is that you can get results so quickly. Someone can be in pain for 30 years and they can tap for 5 minutes, an hour, a day, you know, a week and get amazing results. And that is incredible. But the reality is beyond that, it's a process. You know, when you get rid of the pain, other things are likely to come up. We talked about the downside and upside of the issue. Again, with the same wonderful lady working with the migraine headaches, her headaches have stopped. She's been getting off of her migraine medication under the supervision of her doctor. She's really excited about that and has had a couple of amazing days where she says she's felt better, totally pain-free, better than she has in 15 years. And now she's hit a point where she's having to reevaluate her life and sort of hitting some identity issues. She's had this pain for 11 years, so she's having to rework who she is without this pain. You know, her friends know her as having pain. She operates as having pain, having migraines. There's things that she knows she can do. There's things that she knows she can't do. Her life was very set and revolved around this pain. So now with this pain being gone, there are new things that she has to explore. Who does she want to be without this pain? How does she say no to someone who wants to do something with her? She doesn't have the migraines as an excuse anymore, so she needs to find another way. Not another excuse, but a way to say, no, this isn't right for me. So be aware that this is a process, and you know, just be grateful for every step. And every time that you clear something, every time something goes from 8 to a 1 or 0 or from a 7 to a 4, that's such a victory. So it's really important to celebrate those victories along the way and not be so focused on, well, okay, I need to be 100% pain-free, back to work, doing everything I want in my life, and being happy all the time. Have that as an outcome, but go there step by step.
I would love to do some tapping. You gave us so many different ways that we can take this. Should we do something? What I think might be helpful would be a way that you tapped with this woman who was having trouble with her migraine.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think the tapping on the emotion that you feel is a really powerful way to go. So let's do that as if we were doing it on a headache, on pain.
Okay.
All right? So if you feel a headache coming on, or you have a headache right now, or whatever pain you're feeling, you ask yourself, what is the emotion that I feel here? And it doesn't have to be this answer, but oftentimes pain is related to anger or rage. So just be aware of that. If something else comes up, if you feel sadness, then go with that. But ask yourself, is there any anger here? Because oftentimes the two are linked. Or is there any rage there? A lot of times back pain is suppressed rage. So that could just be a clue. So now you say, okay, well, I have this anger in my head, and we can tap on that anger. So tapping on the side of the hand, the karate chop point. Even though I have this anger in my head.
Even though I have this anger in my head.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I have all this anger in my head.
Even though I have all this anger in my head.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I have all this angry pain in my head.
Even though I have all this angry pain in my head.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Okay, so now to the eyebrow point. All this anger in my head.
All this anger in my head.
Side of the eye. I'm holding on to so much anger.
I'm holding on to so much anger.
Under the eye. This anger about what happened.
This anger about what happened.
Under the nose. I can't let go of this anger.
I can't let go of this anger.
Under the mouth. All this angry pain in my head.
All this angry pain in my head.
Collarbone. I have all this angry pain about what happened.
I have all this angry pain about what happened.
Under the arm. All this anger in my head.
All this anger in my head.
Top of the head. I'm feeling so much anger in my head.
I'm feeling so much anger in my head.
Let's do a little bit of a positive round on the eyebrows so people experience how to do that. And again, usually shift to the positive when you feel the negative has subsided enough that it feels okay, that it feels like, okay, I can say these things. It's real. Not okay. This isn't true at all. So
okay.
Back to the eyebrow point. Releasing all this anger in my head.
Releasing all this anger in my head.
Side of the eye. Letting it go.
Letting it go.
Under the eye. It's time to let go of what happened.
It's time to let go of what happened.
Under the nose. It's time to let go of this anger.
It's time to let go of this anger.
Under the mouth. Letting it all go.
Letting it all go.
Collarbone. Letting all this anger go now.
Letting all this anger go now.
Under the arm. All this anger in my head.
All this anger in my head.
Top of the head. Releasing all of this anger in my head.
Releasing all of this anger in my head.
Take a deep breath. And let it go.
Thank you for that. And again, you did the positive round. So I just want to reiterate to the listeners that that's something that we begin to incorporate once it feels true, once we're feeling better.
Absolutely. And you can try it out and see. You know, sometimes you can go for, you know, you're on the eyebrow point and you say, I release all this anger, or inside of that, it's time to let it go. And if part of you says, no way, I'm not letting go, I'm so angry about this. Okay, well, maybe you're not ready for the positive statements now. You know, the other thing about that is that we started with the emotion, all this anger in my head and all this anger in my back. More often than not, if there, you have anger, it's usually about something or about someone. So you can tap first generally about the anger that you feel, and then you can say, you know, if the event keeps coming up again and again, then you tap specifically on that event. So you can tap on what happened. So why don't we do a round on just tapping on the anger of what happened?
All right, I'd love that.
Okay, so tapping on the side of the hand. Even though I have all this anger about what happened.
Even though I have all this anger about what happened.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I'm so angry about what he or she did.
Even though I'm so angry about what he or she did.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I'm so angry about the situation.
I am so angry about this situation.
And it's showing up in my head.
And it's showing up in my head.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Eyebrow, all this anger about what happened.
All this anger about what happened.
Side of the eye, I can't believe they did that.
I can't believe they did that.
Under the eye, I'm so angry.
I am so angry.
Under the nose, I'm so full of rage.
I'm so full of rage.
Under the mouth, all this rage in my body.
All this rage in my body.
Collarbone, all this rage in my head.
All this rage in my head.
Under the arm, I can't believe they did that.
I can't believe they did that.
Top of the head, I can't believe that happened.
I can't believe that happened.
Do one more round of the eyebrow, I can't believe that happened.
I can't believe that happened.
Side of the eye, all this rage in my body.
All this rage in my body.
Under the eye, all this anger in my head.
All this anger in my head.
Under the nose, I'm starting to let it go.
I'm starting to let it go.
Under the mouth, I'm starting to forgive.
I'm starting to forgive.
Collarbone, even though it's hard to let it go.
Even though it's hard to let it go.
Under the arm, I choose to let it go now.
I choose to let it go now.
Top of the head, I choose to start letting it go.
I choose to start letting it go.
Eyebrow, I choose to release this anger.
I choose to release this anger.
Side of the eye, I choose to let it go.
I choose to let it go.
Under the eye, it's safe to let it go.
It's safe to let it go.
Under the nose, it's time to let go of this anger.
It's time to let go of this anger.
Under the mouth, it's time to let go of this anger.
It's time to let go of this anger.
Collarbone, it's time to let go of this pain.
It's time to let go of this pain.
Under the arm, letting go of this pain.
Letting go of this pain.
Top of the head, letting go of all this anger and pain.
Letting go of all this anger and pain.
Take a deep breath. And let it go.
Thank you for that, Nick. Nick, if someone was tapping along and they found that when they started tapping, they connected more with the issue and their intensity actually went up, what do they do about that?
Well, just keep going and keep going focused on that particular issue. I mean, to me, that's a good thing. I know people go, oh my gosh, I'm more mad than I was when I started. What have you done here? Well, look, the reality is that that anger was there. It was buried. It was deep. And it was probably coming out in your body in pain or in other symptoms that pop from it. So bringing it up and noticing, wow, I really have a lot of emotion there. And that's one of the interesting things that happens with tapping is that it's like peeling an onion. So we start with the pain and now there's anger and you think you're angry about one thing and next thing you know, you're angry about something else. And you peel one layer of the onion and find another. And that's a good thing because it's all there. It's not like we're creating things. We're not bringing things up just to make them worse and just to rant about them. We're bringing up to clear them. And that's the difference with this process as opposed to complaining to your friend on the phone about how angry you are about what happened. There's certainly an element to venting which can be good, and we've all felt that release from venting. But more often than not, we vent and we're still angry afterwards, or we got ourselves even more worked up, or our friend worked us up even more because they were shocked about the issue, and it sort of escalates, and now you're angrier than you are when you started. If you do the tapping when you do that ranting, if you do the tapping when you talk to your friend, if you do the tapping and dig deep and uncover what's going on, we actually process and release it. And that, to me, is one of the exciting things about tapping. We're not doing a mind eraser here. We're not ignoring the issue. We're finally taking a real look at what's going on. We're looking deep. We're acknowledging what happened. We're releasing from our body, and then we're moving forward in our lives.
Absolutely. And you're making a great point about also the power of being persistent and sticking to it and also not making it more complicating. A lot of people don't take this seriously or don't give it a shot because it seems too easy, but it's about taking these simple steps consistently that really makes the difference.
Absolutely. And to me, you know, people ask me all the time, well, how often do you tap? How often should I tap? And to me, it's a life process. Now, I'm not perfect and I forget to tap, and I always laugh at myself if I ever wake up with a sore neck again. And it's happened before. It happened a year ago. I woke up and I spent 3 or 4 hours with a sore neck before, and with a sore neck while doing tapping work in my business. You know, this is what I do all day, every day. So I'm trying to respond to emails, and who knows, I might have even done a call on tapping. And next thing I know, I said, what am I doing? Why haven't I tapped on this yet? And the reality is that it's a new paradigm. It's a shift. It's something we're not used to. We don't have reminders every day. So if you forget for a little while, that's okay. But making it part of a lifestyle, making it part of just whatever you're dealing with in your life, you just use it to move through it quicker, to release the stress in your body, to reduce the stress in your life. And magic happens, as we all know, as I'm sure a lot of the listeners have experienced already.
Absolutely. And Nick, we have to wrap up, but I want to squeeze one more thing in, because you said something interesting earlier in the interview. You were saying something and you said that a lot of the ways that we tap on pain is the same way that we address illness. So can you tell us a little bit about how tapping on pain is similar to using tapping to help with an illness?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, we're obviously not medical doctors and we're not treating disease in any way, shape, or form. We are addressing the emotional contributors. We're addressing the journey of healing. So if someone has cancer, well, we're not tapping on the cancer. And you don't tap and say, even though I have cancer, I deeply, completely accept myself. That's not the approach. The approach is to say, how can we reduce the stress in the body? So, for example, for cancer, for other illnesses, for multiple sclerosis, for Crohn's disease, whatever's going on, you can ask yourself the same questions. What did my doctor tell me about this? What do I believe to be true? What's my prognosis? What's the diagnosis? What do they say is going to be true for the rest of my life? We can tap on these things, and we're reducing the emotional charge. We're reducing the stress about it. You know, if someone has cancer and they've told, well, you have 5 years to live, an awful diagnosis and prognosis about what's coming in the future, the stress that that puts on the body is massive. Whether it's true or not is not for us to decide, and that's for the medical doctors to work with, and you continue to work with them. But what we can do together, what the tapping can do, is it can relieve the stress around that. It can relieve the trauma about hearing about that in the first place. There's a lot of trauma just hearing a diagnosis. You know, you have something that's wrong with you, and you go in for a doctor, and they come in, and they do tests, and now they have a result. And if it's not a good result, it can put the body into that freeze response. It can put the body into a fight or flight response. So looking at those events and doing the tapping on it can provide people with, you know, amazing results. And with illness, you do the same thing. I think the tree is so valuable. So you can tap on the side effects. You can tap on the emotions. I'm so angry about my dis-ease. I'm so angry about my cancer. I'm so angry about my Crohn's disease, whatever you're dealing with. You can tap on the events. You know, what happened? What, when you think of it, all those same questions, you know, who does this pain represent? Who does this illness represent? What's the message from this pain? What's the message from this illness? The message one is great for a lot of people. They'll say, well, I think I got this to slow down. You know, I think this, my body's telling me that I'm overworking myself, or I'm not giving it the right nutrition. I'm not treating it right. So that same list of questions for pain is absolutely perfect for really anything we have going on in our body, from serious things like cancer and other diseases to little things like colds and sore throats and flus. You can ask yourself all those same questions.
Absolutely. And Nick, as we wrap up, do you have any final words of wisdom for those who are really going to start tapping to relieve their pain?
Well, we've covered a lot here. And, you know, like every one of those questions, like you said, can take you down a whole fun rabbit hole of uncovering what's going on. I would just tell people to, I said it before, but it's so important to be patient and to celebrate success. Which one of the great things about writing down what you're working on is that you can have a shift and you can say, hey, I went from an 8 to a 5. That's a victory. That's a shift. If someone's in pain and it's an 8 and it shifts to a 5, that's dramatic. I mean, I felt pain at 8 before, not chronic, fortunately, but I felt it. And there's a big difference between an 8 pain and a 5 pain. And I'll obviously take the 5 any day of the week. And I think most people in chronic pain would do that. So if that happens, celebrate that victory. And if, you know, your pain's an 8 to a 5 because you spent 10 minutes, the next day it goes back up to an 8, well, tap again and then look deeper and just be patient with it and really be proud of yourself, reward yourself. You're on the cutting edge of healing right now. And, you know, the fact that you're even listening to the call, that you're doing this, that you're so committed to yourself puts you in the top 1% of 1% of the world. So I think giving ourselves a little credit for that is really important.
Yes, that sounds fantastic. Nick, this has been so enlightening and a lot of fun. Thank you so much.